Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Welcome to Open Line Friday here on the Andy Griffin Show. That means you can call me whenever you want, and we'll talk about whatever you want, and we'll talk about it. Phone number is 673-5890. I already got a text, Mello, and we just barely started. Okay, it's a spam text, so never mind. Anyway, welcome to the program. Mello is here, too. Hi, Mello.
Good morning.
How are you? So perky. It's always cheerful.
I know. I'm so glad it's Friday, aren't you?
Yeah, except it's going to be a busy weekend. I got a lot going on. We got people coming over to stay. I've got ball games today, and Friday is nice, but if I can get through, so today through next Saturday is the state baseball tournament, and I'm probably going to do somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 to 12 games over the next 8 days.
Wow.
And so, I was talking with our sports director, Andy Thompson, earlier, he's like, what are you available to do? And I know you have the morning show, so I said, listen, I'll do my morning show on no sleep if I have to. I'm available for anything. I told myself way back when, this is, pardon the French, hell week, and it's fine. I'm okay with it. And, right. And the truth of the matter is, I get paid to do these games, and I don't get paid any extra all summer long after these games are over. So this is my summer spending money, whatever I make doing baseball.
That's awesome. You know what I have coming this weekend besides the obvious of Mother's Day?
Mother's Day is Sunday, yes.
I have baby chicks should be hatching this weekend.
Baby chicks, really?
Yeah.
Did you hear about this salmonella thing?
No.
Yeah, there's a minor outbreak in 7 states, including Utah, of salmonella, but because a lot of people, when eggs got so expensive, went out and bought chickens, and then they'll handle the chicken and then maybe not wash their hands good enough or get it on their clothes, and then that will spread to food and stuff. So just be careful.
That's okay, I'll wash my hands. But
yeah, wash them in 20 seconds, they say.
Okay, I'm pretty good at that. Yeah. I've been trained.
Good. But the chickens are hatching, huh?
Yeah, so I got, my friend has eggs or chickens that are housed in Veo, and so she brought me down this little incubator, and you just keep it with water, and it has to be 99.5 degrees and then about 50% humidity, and it has a little turner, so they're all on these little racks.
And then the incubator.
Yeah, it's a little incubator, and then it twists them like one way for a certain amount of time, and then it turns them. And there's a little candler on top, and so she showed me, and we looked in the candler, and you can actually see like the shadow of the little baby chickie inside with its little beak, and it's like moving around. It's so cool. I'm so excited.
Now, the old thinking is you do not help the chickens, the chicks hatch. The ones that you help, maybe peel the shell off for them when it's time to hatch, will die because they need that. I don't know what it is, but something about it. They need that experience of fighting their way out of the egg. That's very important. That's what I've heard.
So. Well, good to know. I've never done this, and she's going to be leaving on her trip on Tuesday, so I'm hoping a couple come over the weekend so she can kind of babysit me through it, because I'm kind of nervous but excited. And then I got this brooding box, ordered it on Amazon, and she assembled it for me, and it's got like the heating lamps, and it's got a little temperature on it. It's got a little thing for feeding it.
So how many eggs are there?
There's 28 eggs.
28? Oh, my goodness.
But they're going to come in waves. So there's like a first wave and then another wave, and then she should be home.
Okay.
It's crossing my fingers.
Waves of chicks.
Wave of baby chickies. But my kids
are
so excited. Which
is every teenage boy's fantasy, waves of chicks.
That's why they become rock stars. Or DJs.
My dad was up in Cedar City for a while. He was an ecclesiastical leader for a student ward out in Cedar, and he told me that. He said, guys, if they only knew, they would go to SUU, because SUU is 61% female.
Mm.
And so even if you're kind of a nerd guy who's no good with women, I mean, come on, you're almost outnumbered 2-1 or 1.5-1. You know, you ought to be able to find a girl to date or
something. There you go. Better odds than BYU. So. Yeah.
Yeah. BYU is not 60-40 like SUU is. So. All right, let's look to the news today as we get rolling on the show here. First of all, this is interesting. So Celeste Molloy went to the House of Representatives. We're talking about the National House. So she's in Washington, D.C., and she said, listen, we're going to amend one of these bills. And in that, and it's passed, by the way, is it passed the House, is that we want to allow cities like St. George City to and Washington County to buy some of the BLM, some of the nationally owned, the federally owned land, buy that and develop it. And the city of St. George said, we applaud this. This is great. We need this to, you know, to complete our infrastructure, the piping and the electricity and everything to make our city grow. But almost immediately after the endorsement by the city and the county, there was a backlash. There were people saying, hey, wait a minute. So what you're saying is this land that I've been able to recreate on, whether it's, I don't know, dirt biking or four-wheelers or hunting or whatever, this is now going to be developed. It's going to be owned by the city and developed. And a lot of folks are like, kind of unhappy about that.
Right, especially if you'd bought a home knowing you back up to BLM land.
Ooh, I didn't even think about that.
You think, oh gosh, no one's
going
to be behind
me. The realtor over there is thinking, yeah,
no one's going to ever be behind me. This is amazing. And then all of a sudden you've got like a shopping center, or you've got a neighborhood right behind you, or a school. That's going to ruffle some feathers, no pun intended there.
We were talking about chicks. So I was talking, my wife read this post the other day, and it was, somebody had posted up, and I want to ask your realtor, so put your realtor hat on right now.
Okay, I'll pretend. Someone
had built a house, and they said, why in the world would a builder put this house diagonally on a property and ruin my view, is what the person said. And I'm just curious, when you see a post like that, does it crack you up? Does it make you angry? What kind of, when someone says that?
Well, I'm guilty of this too. I bought a home, and then there were no homes across the way from me, because it was blue clay, because I live in Santa Clara.
So you're like, they'll never be there.
There'll never be anybody there. And then, lo and behold, two people pop up with their homes, and they amend the soil so they can build on it, and I'm mad. But then I'm like, I can't be mad, because if I wanted that view, I should have bought those lots.
Yeah.
So if you want to maintain your view, then buy the lot behind you when they're developing a neighborhood, and then you'll maintain your view.
And the argument would be, well, I can't afford those lots. Well, then you probably should have bought somewhere else, right?
Yeah, it's sad, but you can't control what other people do with their property. It's a free will to do what you want with your property.
Now, I completely understand buying a property based on the geography around it. For instance, our old house was off of 300 East in Washington City. Mm-hmm. That road, all day, all night, motorcycles and trucks. I mean, it was loud. And our backyard was there was a wall in our backyard, a wall, and then the street. And, and it was loud. So when we sold that home and we're looking for a new home, we had two priorities. We wanted a pool, and we wanted a house that was quiet behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there aren't a lot of those out there that have both those things. And so what we ended up doing was, we bought a house that the back of it faces the Forest Park in Middleton, which is incredibly quiet. They call it a park, but it's mostly kind of, you could almost say, a forest wilderness. There's like one area that's developed, but most of the park is just trees and stuff. And it's really nice and really quiet. But it didn't have a pool. Mm-hmm. So we got lucky. We got in right before COVID hit and got the pool built. In fact, they just finished it like January 2020.
Wow.
COVID hit March 2020, and we got really lucky. I actually, Christmas, so the pool was done, but the concrete work wasn't done around it. But I went ahead and jumped in the pool on Christmas of 2019 just because I wanted to.
Because you could.
It was cold, and I could not get my daughters or my wife in, but I it was like, I had, it was Christmas, right?
Oh,
I mean,
fine.
Yeah. So, but so shopping for a house based on what the geography around it is like, what the environment is around it, is very important. And I can see where people would be unhappy if they bought something assuming it was going to be a certain way, and then it turned out later on to not be. But like you said, I mean, if you buy and there's empty lots by you, you have zero control of what goes in there.
No, nope, you don't.
No control.
And I think that when you're looking, that's kind of why, for me personally, I prefer to shop in a neighborhood that's established. There's no surprises. I know
what's
around me. I want established trees. I want big trees in my yard. I will start them. Everywhere I move, I plant trees. But I think that makes me feel more at home. know where I'm at, and nobody's coming around.
Yeah, my wife is the rosebush lady. Everywhere we have lived, there immediately plants rosebushes, and they're blooming right now. They're really incredibly beautiful.
But, you know, I started planting rosebushes, and I found this really cool one at Costco. I bought just one of them, and it's my favorite rosebush. It's like it's round, and it just looks like a bush with just all these pretty roses. Nice. I can't identify what it is because I want to buy like five more, but I don't know what it is. And every time I go to Costco, I just pray and hope that that's going to be the rosebush. There's a line on the caller. I'm going to grab it.
Okay. We'll let you grab the call. I will talk a little bit. Well, I mean, you know, maybe we don't want to go too far away from what we're talking about because a caller probably has a question or a comment about the topic we're talking about. But I like I said, I can tell you that when you buy a home, you know, if you're really rolling the dice if you buy a home in a new subdivision that is not finished yet, and you're like, yeah, I bought this for the view, and if there's going to be two or three houses that come in, you know, where that view is, you know, what right do you have to complain about it? If you bought it for the view and the view is obscured in future times, well, I'm having a hard time feeling bad for you. Now, that being said, there's one place, and I think it's out maybe in Washington Fields or maybe Hurricane, where it was zoned industrial. They didn't know that, and they ended up building this big old long, warehouse or something, big, tall, long warehouse, and people were unhappy about that. And maybe if you... I don't know. Is there an excuse? Maybe I didn't know, but maybe you should have done a little homework right before you bought. Yeah, perhaps. Yep. So.
And Violet's on line one, and she wanted to talk to you about maybe some other guests for the BLM issue.
Okay. Violet, what's up?
Hi. About at least 10 years ago, if not longer, you had several guests on your show talking about the Bundys and Lavoie Finicum. And
That was before my time. I wasn't here yet, but I know what you're talking about.
Somebody then. Okay. And whoever was doing that show had a lot of very interesting speakers with providing new perspectives and BLM discussions and all of that. And it's a fascinating subject, and it kind of just disappeared. And I was just hopeful that you could get knowledgeable people back on the air to update us what's been going on with that whole scenario.
Good idea. Good idea. Yesterday, and thank you for the call, by the way, Violet. Yesterday, Nanette Billings, the mayor of Hurricane, was on, and she was talking about that. She said, look, the city bought a bunch of land, and they're going to build a new city hall and police department. And she said there's a lot of people unhappy well, what's the city going to do with this land now? And it's already pre-zoned. There's already zoning, but it's the same kind of thing. Nanette said, look, if you go out and you graze your cattle on BLM land, that's not free. You actually have to rent or pay for the right to graze your cattle out there. Mm-hmm. And so she said, look, all we're doing is instead of grazing cattle, we're going to own the land, but we're going to rent it out to somebody and they can put an apartment building or something on it. And so, you know, she was kind of like, yeah, it's a difficult. It's hard for people to wrap their brains around, but it is real. So, all right. I do want to talk about this too for a minute. So I hate taxes. We all hate taxes, right? And I like living in a community that St. George is nice. We love the trails it's just a great place to live. But man, when you pay taxes, you got your income tax, right? You use your income without that tax money to buy property. Guess what's next? Oh yeah, property tax, right? Then you want to buy a car. Well, you pay tax on the car. There's also a gasoline tax that you have to pay just for driving the car to help maintain the roads. And of course, if you need tires or you need it worked on, there's sales tax on those things. And then you've got just about every kind of thing you can think of. You want to buy a loaf of bread? Guess what? There's tax on that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I was encouraged to learn that the state of Utah is actually lowering the income tax, just their portion. They have no control over the federal and all that, but they're actually lowering it. And I got looking at it, and they're lowering it. I don't want to complain because, you know, they are lowering it, but 0.05%. So we last year paid 4.5%. Let me try again. Last year we paid 4.55% taxes, income tax, state to the state. This year, we're only going to pay 4.50%. I'm like, well, at least we're saving some money. And then I did the math on it, and 0.05% on income tax. If you made $100,000 a year last year, if you make that this year, you would get $50 off your bill.
Mm.
Now, I know a lot of people are like, well, hey, $50, you know, but on the other hand, it's a pretty small cut. I don't know. I kind of have mixed feelings about this, Mello. I'm happy they're cutting the tax, but that ain't much.
It's going in the right direction.
Yeah. No, that's true. Yeah. And Utah's had a surplus the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
So at least somebody, one of the lawmakers said, well, if we have a surplus, let's not charge so much in taxes. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Agreed.
There's an old joke, and I might as well tell. There's an old joke about an old man and an old woman. They wanted to go. This guy was flying his biplane around, a little airplane, and it was $50 a ride but per person. And so they couldn't afford that. That's a little too much for them. And so they went to the pilot and said, hey, is there any way we can get a ride? And he goes, it's $50 a person. They're like, we can't afford that. All we have is $50. And he said, I'll tell you what. If neither of you says a single word, I'll charge you just $50 for both of you. So they go up in the biplane, and he's doing loop-de-loops, doing all this fun stuff. And then when they land, the pilot turns around. Because, you know, in the biplanes, you have the open seats and everything. Mm-hmm. And the pilot turns around, and the woman is gone. And the guy says to the old fella, he says, What happened to your wife? And he said, well, she started slipping a little more and more. Every time you did a loop-de-loop, she started slipping out. And he said, well, why didn't you say something? And the guy says, hey, $50 is
$50. Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
So, terrible joke, I know. But that's kind of how I look at the, it's kind of, and I probably told it wrong. I'm sure my dad's screaming at the radio right now. You told it wrong. Anyway, but that's kind of how I look at this tax cut is, you know what? $50 is $50.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I don't make $100,000, but, you know.
Mm-hmm.
A recent study, let me read this story to you, Mello, and I'll get your reaction on this. Cancer rates appear to be increasing for those under the age of 50. Researchers at the National Institute of Health found that from 2010 to 2019, so that decade, 14 cancer types increased among people under the age of 50, including the two big ones, breast cancer in women and colon cancer in men. Researchers did not give an explanation, but they theorized that the propensity for obesity in the United States, as well as our love of ultra-processed foods,
mm-hmm.
may be causing that. Now, ultra-processed foods, everybody's like, oh, I don't eat ultra-processed. Ultra-processed food means like potato chips, ketchup, soda pop, all the things that we love.
Mm-hmm.
Cookies, and, you know, packaged cookies. And
right, our food's killing us.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you know, we had Dr. Blodgett on the other day. He's like, we know these things. We know it's true. But the problem is that nobody wants, I mean, we love our Oreos, right? We love our Lay's, you know, chips or whatever. We love our Dr. Pepper, and I'm as guilty as anybody.
Right.
And he says, you get to this point where someone has cancer or they have Parkinson's or whatever it is, and they go, what happened? And they said, well, it was probably all that processed food you ate. Okay, well, I'll stop now.
Mm-mm.
Guess what?
Yeah.
It's too late.
Yeah, and so, the advertising that they do for all of those products.
Oh, they're good.
Is hard to compete. Like, it's hard to say, oh, never mind, unless you want to be ultra healthy and run miles and miles on purpose. And
yesterday was National Have a Coke Day. I mean, Coke got a day named for themselves, and we all say, oh, Coke, have a Coke and a smile, right? That was an advertising campaign. I like to teach the whole world to sing. I like to teach the world. You know, all those. They're good. You're right. They are amazing at it.
And yet they make money by making us sick.
They're killing us.
Yeah. It's too bad.
They really are. Mm. Tomorrow is the final Ironman. We'll talk about that after we come back from break. We still got a couple of minutes, though, before we go to commercial break. You had a story about maybe about your daughter.
Oh, an update on my daughter.
Speaking of chicks and letting them thrive and things like that. Is this your 15-year-old or your 21-year-old?
The 21-year-old.
Okay.
So she came back.
Oh, she's back.
Yeah, she's already back.
She's living with you.
Technically, we'll see. Okay, so here's where the story gets interesting.
Okay.
So she didn't want to live at her sister. She got two jobs and quit them both within like a day. Like she worked them like 3 days. I can't do this anymore. I quit.
Wait, what?
Yeah, she got a job at a hotel. She was working as the food service for the morning breakfast.
That seems pretty easy.
She read me the list and she's like, it's so overwhelming. I can't do it. I'm like, but it was 20 minutes from her house. And then she had another interview at Einstein Bagels. and up north. So she went to that job, and she's like, I just can't do it. I can't do it. I'm like, just do it, and then save up the money, and then come back and get a place. If you want to be back here, then you have to have the money to do it. And she's like, I just can't. I just have to quit. I have to quit. So she quits. So my husband borrows a trailer from his brothers.
And way to go, Jeff.
A travel trailer, yep. And he just didn't want her inside the house, I think, is
So this is like a camper trailer.
It's a camper trailer. Okay. Yep. So it's parked on the side of our house.
Mm-hmm.
And we got it all set up for her. It's got water. She has to use the restroom in the house and shower in the house. But she can stay out there. There's AC. There's a fridge. There's a kitchen. There's everything she needs. And she's out there sleeping. And we have an electrician coming over because we need to get that 220 plug put so we can plug it in besides using an extension cord. So me and Jeff are out there, like, fiddling around, moving stuff around where we're going to have this thing installed because the electrician's on his way. She comes strolling into the house. She's like, you guys woke me up this morning. And I don't know if that's going to, like, be a problem. I'm like, I don't really care. I don't care if I woke you up.
We woke you up because we're going to work. Hello.
And we're getting the power hooked up for you.
Yeah.
And then she had her friend sleep over there. And I was like, I'm like, the electrician is going to be coming here in about a half hour. It was 8:30. I think it was 8:30 at this point.
Not too early. Okay.
And she's like, oh, my friend's still asleep. I don't know if that's going to work. I'm like, again, I don't care. Your friend can wake up.
I don't know if that's going to work.
You're not going to have your friend sleeping over here regularly. This is a place for you to stay while you get a job. She hasn't been back. Like, it's been like 3 days. She's just hanging out at her friend's house.
She left?
She's not left because all of her stuff is there and her car is there. She's with some friend. And she hasn't, I don't know what she's doing. And every day I call her and she's like, is every time you call me, you're going to ask me if I got a job yet? I'm like, yes, that is exactly what I'm going to do.
Oh, parenthood.
I don't know. Yeah. It's the worst kind of hood to go through, I've heard.
Yeah. Well, at least you get $50 back from the government this year.
That's right. So that's right.
There is that. Well, we'll get it more on how Mello was surviving the 21-year-old. And we'll talk about the triathlon, last one in St. George for, well, who knows how long, when we come back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Good morning, I'm Andy. Welcome back. Appreciate you being here on the Andy Griffin Show. You're welcome to call at any time at 673-5890. You can text me at 467-5842. And, we'll get your comments on the air. This story out of Ogden. Okay, Ogden, of course, those that don't know, it's right up there north of Salt Lake. It used to be the second largest city in Utah, and it is, because of crime and some other problems in Ogden, it's gone way down. It's like fifth or sixth or something. And I wrote an article, by the way, about it was the first city in Utah. There's a story. So they said they sent a guy from West Jordan, Salt Lake, Ogden, and what's the other really old city in Utah? Maybe Bountiful or something.
Mm-hmm.
They put them all in a room and to have them decide what would be which one was the first city in Utah because they were all formed about the same time. And the story goes that three men, the three men that weren't from Ogden came out and they were kind of beat up and bruised and battered. And as they walked out and said, yeah, Ogden was the first city. Ogden was the first city. And then the last guy comes out and he says, see, I told you Ogden was the first city. And they're like, how did you decide that? He goes, because we're tougher than anybody else.
Oh,
Ogden.
No.
So, but, this story from Ogden, kind of turns the stomach a little bit. So they had some body cam footage of the police officers that went into a house in Ogden and found, Mello, you're not going to believe this, 156 dogs and cats inside this one house.
No
156.
Way.
So the body cam footage, they open the door, these two police officers, the residents are not there anymore. They get a search warrant. They open the door, and there are animals everywhere. I mean, mostly dogs. I think it was like all but like five of them were dogs, but mostly dogs everywhere. It's unbelievable. The officers take one step in the house and then they turn back around and go get gas masks out of their cars because can you imagine the smell?
No.
Of that
no
house?
Access to the outside at all?
No. Oh, these were all inside.
Poor babies.
The two men involved in the dog hoarding situation are facing, get this, 698 criminal charges, including 168 charges of misdemeanor cruelty to animals.
Yes.
But I just can't even, like, how do you even get to that point in your life? Like, you know what I mean? I mean, there was a story last week that they had found 130-something dogs. Mm-hmm. This was in, like, Ohio or something in a house. And now this one in Utah with 156 dogs and cats. I'm just, like, what goes wrong in your life, Mello, that you get to the point where another dog? Sure, why not? You know what I mean? Like,
well, I don't know. Have you ever watched one of my favorite shows to watch is Hoarders?
Hoarders. So I have not watched it, but I've heard about it.
Because it always makes me feel so much better about my spaces.
Do you think they were hoarding dogs?
So what happens is my opinion, from watching that show a lot, is what happens is somebody has a traumatic event, like their mom dies, their husband dies, their spouse leaves them, their child dies. Okay. Like something really emotionally tragic happens. And so then they start building barriers around them with things, either items that they're shopping or they're thrifting or animals. Like it could be all these things because those things bring them comfort and they just don't have an off switch and they don't see it as a problem and they look past the mess, they look past the smell and they just, they're insulating themselves.
I just can't, I understand what you're saying and traumatic events can lead to some, you know, some strange behavior. It happens. Mm-hmm. But I just, at some point, I mean, after 20 dogs, 30 dogs, don't you at some point go, okay, we got a problem here.
Yeah, I can't imagine how much, like I have two big dogs and it cost me at least $125 a month just for their food.
And by the way, the officers commented that it seemed like the dogs were not malnourished. Like, they were feeding them. Mm-hmm. And of course, when you put it in one end, it has to come out the other eventually. They were not taking care of that part of it.
No.
But 156 animals in the
house. I wonder
if
they were like little chihuahhas. Like, what kind of little dogs
I haven't seen the video. It's out there. And probably someone right now is looking it up and going, hey, stupid. You know, but still, even if they're little. Mm-hmm. And you have, say, a decent-sized house of 2,500, 3,000 square feet. Mm-hmm. That's like a dog every 20 square feet.
Oh, my gosh. Don't even. Oh, I cannot. I could not do that.
Oh, man.
That's sad. I'm glad that. So, the neighbors had to have known. There has to be a stench coming from the house.
You would think. No, I mean, they had.
And noise coming from the house.
It took so long for them to. I mean, you would think after 40, right? The neighbors would go, something weird's going on there. There's a lot of barking in that house, or it smells funny or something. But no, 20, 40, 60, 80, they got to 100. Oh, still no problem. 156.
Were the men living inside the house with the dogs, or they abandoned it?
They were.
That's even worse. Yeah, Oh, my.
So, anyway, we'll try to get some more details on that as the story develops some more. But basically, it's hard to fathom.
Yes.
Okay, tomorrow is big stuff happening this weekend. First of all, a thing that I've been kind of pushing hard and I really think is important, it's the Stamp Out Hunger food drive tomorrow. This is cool. You can take a bag of food. Say, I mean, we all have that extra food that's not expired that's in our pantries, right? Mm-hmm. So you take like 4 cans, 2 boxes, and a bag of something, stick it in a bag, and leave it by your mailbox, whether your mailbox is at your house or you have a cluster box like I do. And the mail carrier tomorrow morning will, or afternoon, or whenever the mail comes, will take that food, put it in his truck, and deliver it back to the post office, where they will put it in a truck and take it to the Utah Food Bank.
I have a cool story about the Utah Food Bank.
Okay.
I went there yesterday.
Yeah?
Yeah, I volunteered with Keller Williams. We did Red Day.
Oh, Red Day, yeah.
Yep. So we went there, and we got to sort the food. So they bring it over and like a group of us would look at the dates, not me because my eyes don't work that great. Hmm. So if it's after like 2019 or beyond, then you can keep it. And so then it goes on the other side and then they sort them.
2019, their food that's been expired 6 years?
Yeah, that's like the cutoff. If it was older than 2019, then we couldn't have it.
Well, and to be clear, most of those say best buy. They don't say don't eat after. They say they're taste best if you eat them by such
and they have
date.
To be sealed in their original packaging cans. So there was like one for canned vegetables, one for canned meats, dry goods, baking goods. They had about 12 different categories. And then we just sorted them and then we'd close up the box. There was another team member that was making the boxes. And then we got to tour the facility. They'd have these huge fridges where they keep, they get a lot of produce from the stores that are around here, and they even have a freezer section, and it looks like a big old Costco inside there. There's wow. these big, huge pallets. They have one of those wrappers, so you like put the pallet on the middle of the wrapper machine, and then
so
it,
like Tupac or something.
Like I know, I think they should put some music there too. But
you said wrapper,
yeah, W R A P.
Oh, with a W,
yeah.
Got it.
And then it spins, and then they can saran wrap the whole pallet. So when they deliver it, and then they also have a scale, so the pallets weigh 60 pounds, so they subtract 60 pounds, so they know exactly how many pounds of food.
A pallet weighs 60 pounds? I did not know that.
Yep, the blue pallets weigh 60,
okay.
And the smaller ones, I think, are 40.
So a good deal. It sounds like they're going to need some more sorting help on Sunday or Monday, because the letter carriers, our mail carriers, are pushing hard to stamp out yeah. hunger. I think it's a great cause.
And you can go over there and volunteer. I think they have free Fridays.
Anytime,
like on Fridays are better, but otherwise you have to, I think, call in. You should just call in and make an appointment, and you can get a group of people over. We had a lot of fun. It took us about an hour, and I think we got like 46 boxes done. So
nice. Okay, also going on this weekend, of course, tomorrow, the worst-kept secret. It's no secret. It's the Ironman, the last Ironman. 16 years and 17 races in St. George, Ironman races, and it is leaving now.
But why? Do we know why?
Well, so did you know? These are some things that I think the general public doesn't know. The city of St. George and other cities have to pay to have the Ironman here.
I didn't know that.
Yes, you pay them to be here. The thinking is you're going to make so much financial benefit of our athletes and all their support group coming that it's worth it. Not only that, unfortunately, for I know Washington City, St. George City, maybe Hurricane 2, because that's where they do the swim. It's all hands on deck when we're talking about first responders, the police, the fire, medical personnel. They all have to work that way. Now, they do get paid, but they all have to work. So it costs the city money to pay those people, too. And I think what happened, I've asked several of the city leaders, why are they leaving? What's going on? And the answer I get for the most part is, well, we just didn't feel like it needed to be here anymore. I'm like, what does that mean? But there's no answer. Yeah. it moves around. It's been in other cities, and it's not going to be here anymore. And I think there are a lot of people who are sad. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people who are happy that it's going away.
Mm-hmm.
So tomorrow will be interesting. I have places I have to go tomorrow.
good luck.
Yeah, the northern part of St. George City is, from basically from the city center north till city limits, is going to be kind of a mess with all kinds of closures. Maybe not closures, that's not the right word, but they won't, a lot of stoppages and reroutes and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be interesting. I live kind of right in the middle of where it's all going on, so I got to figure out how to get out and stuff, but.
Yeah.
They tell us, if you have somewhere to go, if you can get there by accessing the south side of the city, that's really the best thing to do. Because 700 South will be wide open. South Bluff Street will be wide open.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Are you going somewhere tomorrow? Do you have plans to move around tomorrow?
I have my Mother's Day present is coming tomorrow, so I'm very excited.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
It's coming. That means it's been mailed from somewhere?
I planned it myself because I didn't. I just wanted what I wanted this year. And so I really just want my whole house clean at one time and not have to do it. So I hired a housekeeper to come on Saturday morning.
Oh,
yeah.
I see.
And she's going to come, and then I'm going to leave. I don't know. I do. I need to leave the house.
Hey, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
That gives me a really good idea for my wife.
Yes.
Is it too late to get one for my wife?
I might have a few contacts. This lady, my dad met her. And had her come over to his house because his housekeeper had something wrong with her wrist.
And by the way, your dad is, probably 70-something?
He's 81.
81, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he's, yeah.
Yep.
It's hard to clean under the toilet when you're 81, trust me.
It is. So he had her come and clean. She lives in his neighborhood. And I tell you, his stove is still shining. Like, she did magic in his house. Like, his whole house was, shining from top to bottom. So I'm pretty excited about that. And she like she emailed me like a list of everything that she's going to do. And then she had add-ons, so I added on the ovens. Ooh. So she's going to clean inside my ovens. And
really?
Yeah. Wow. I could have added on in the fridges, and I could have added on the baseboards, but I do my baseboards regularly and my fridge too.
So don't tell me exactly what you paid, but what is a ballpark figure for hiring a maid to come do a... How long is she going to be there? 4 hours, 6 hours, 2 hours?
Probably what? 4 to 6. It's usually... Most of them are about $30 an hour. You can expect to pay between $20 and $30 an hour. This one's a little bit more, but I've never seen one so detailed.
Okay. Okay. Pretty cool. And she's coming tomorrow.
Tomorrow, 8 a.m.
Okay. Does that mean she's available after 8, so you can come to my house?
I'll ask her when she gets there.
All right. We need to get a commercial break in. Again, the big news, tomorrow is Ironman, and so you do have to plan some alternate routes. I don't think any road is actually completely closed, but a lot of times, like on I'll be on Red Hills Parkway or Buena Vista, where it kind of transitions between the two. They stop you, and you have to wait until basically they usually have police officers there, but they mm-hmm. stop you and make you can't cross until it's completely nobody's coming for mm-hmm. a ways. So just keep that in mind. Plan an extra bit of time if you need to get around the north side of the city. So we'll be right back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Welcome back, 9:53 on KDXU. I'm Andy. Mello Finlinson is here as well. She's getting a housekeeper to come clean her house for Mother's Day. That's cool.
I know. I was so excited about it.
By the way, I have a story here off the wire. They did a poll of the most popular. Well, not a poll. They did a collection of the most popular gifts in America for Mother's Day, and. For years, Utah bucked the trend. The number one gift for Mother's Day for the last decade or so has been flowers. Mm-hmm. But Utah, number one, was chocolates or some kind of gift box with, mm-hmm. with food in it. Mm-hmm. And this past year, 2024, Utah went ahead and joined the rest of the country. Flowers overtook candy as the number one gift. But I tell you, I really like Mello's decision to... Now, you're the mom. How come you had to buy the housekeeper, by the way?
Well, no, they would have... I could have had them arrange it, but I had somebody special in mind that I wanted because she did such a great job at my dad's house.
Okay.
So I already had the contact info.
But you're the mom. They should be doing that for you.
I know, and they would have.
I mean, the cleaner's doing it for you, but the family's not. And yeah.
Well, I think if you have a good idea, you should just run with it.
I agree.
So.
It's kind of funny. Tell me if this is weird. So for Christmas, we got kids' Christmas presents all through the years, right? But mm-hmm. for birthdays, we always had this tradition in our family. On your birthday, we took you shopping and we took you out and gave you an X amount of dollars to spend shopping. Mm-hmm. That was what we never bought birthday presents per se where they unwrapped them. We actually took them shopping every birthday and they had X amount of dollars and we would go shopping. Of course, I'm an old softy. They'd get to their budget and like, hey, can I get this one more thing? And I'm always like, yeah, sure.
Right, it's your birthday, sure.
I don't care. But is that weird that we never really gave birthday gifts like in boxes with wrapping paper?
I don't know. When they were little, I think I would have just gotten them gifts.
And we did, even when they were like 3 or 4, we would take them to the store and they, get whatever you want.
I don't know. I think that's actually kind of fun. I think it's sweet. I've never done that. But as my kids have gotten older, I do just give them X amount for their birthdays.
Yeah.
And I just Venmo it.
Yeah, when they grow up and realize that money is real and this is all you get, then they're like, hey.
I know, wait, I really want some more stuff on my list. I'm nope. But seriously. I mean, once you have to add in grandkids and spouses and all of the other things, it's just easier to just have a set amount so I can budget it.
So back to this weekend. So we have the Stamp Out Hunger, we have the Iron Man, there's mm-hmm. baseball playoffs going on. Mother's Day is Sunday. It is my wife's birthday tomorrow.
My goodness. Happy birthday.
She May 10th is a lot of times it falls on Mother's Day. So she's kind of used to it's funny. She's like, does that mean I get double presents? And you know, it usually means you get one present for both.
Uh-huh.
That's the way it goes. So I am tasked now with figuring out how to make my wife quite happy all weekend long.
Yes.
And
while you're working.
If you have any ideas for me, I am open to the house cleaner thing sounds like a fantastic idea.
Yeah, I could probably find a housekeeper for you.
Okay.
I've got some contacts.
You going to hook me up?
I'll try. I'll make some calls and see what I can work out for you.
I my budget is not what yours is. Mine would be about half of that, but
I'm getting my ovens clean. I'm getting everything.
That is pretty cool, though.
Yeah,
yeah. And maybe I will spend a little more if they will agree to do some of those types of
uh-huh.
things. What I don't want to happen is to have them come and do what they do and then look at it and go, did they do anything? Because that's not cool.
No, man. My favorite part is coming in and having the whole house be clean at one time, because I'm pretty good at, like, compartmentalizing and, like, okay, the kitchen's clean. And then tomorrow, okay, now the living room's clean, but the kitchen's still kind of dirty. So it's just so nice to have it like a magic fairy cleaning wand, just all done.
Now, something my wife is doing today for my son. So my son bought a house. It's actually right up the hill here on the bluff here. And when he moved in, he kind of threw everything in the garage, and he's been slowly unpacking a little bit at a time. But the garage is still pretty hammered. You're misorganized, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have what I need to do? Maybe have you get together with my wife before she goes over there and get some ideas. But do you have some maybe real quick in 2 minutes ideas for getting a garage somewhat organized?
I really like to go over to the Home Depot, and they have those strips that you can hang up, and then you can get the little, I think it's like a track, and then you can pop on the different tools. So you can hang up like your brooms and your shovels if you have just a few of them.
Okay.
And just hang those up. I really like the yellow and black totes for all the random stuff, like if you have
sleeping bags. The little plastic boxes or whatever?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for like sleeping bags or snow gear, just those things that kind of take lots of space in the garage. And then I'm just so grateful to finally have a car in the garage.
I was going to ask you that question as we wrap things up here on the show. How important is it to have your car be able to fit in the garage? And I will say this, that has been a huge priority for me and my wife our whole lives, because if you live in a cold place, it sucks scraping ice. If you live in a hot place, it sucks getting in a really hot car. So it's always been a priority for us. We have three cars. All of them fit in our three-car garage right now.
That's impressive. No, I have always struggled with my garages because I like to collect things, and I just shove them in my car, in my garage, so my house is clean. But another thing in the garage that's really helpful to have is a big toolbox. So I really like those larger toolboxes with the drawers where you can keep things organized.
Yeah.
And another thing I love to hang in garages is pegboards.
Mm-hmm.
So I hang up the pegboards, and then I have like my hammer up there. I have my drill up there. I have all my screwdrivers, just easily grab them. And I have a bench there also where I can like charge all of my my stuff like that. And then I also have like another big plastic shelf, and that's just like for my overflow stuff, you know, like your frying pans, your big cast iron, stuff like that that you don't really want to have in the house.
Nice. Get those garages clean. And guys, fellas, don't wait until Saturday at midnight to go to Maverick and buy her some Twinkies or something. Go get her a present today or tomorrow.
Yeah.
Mother's Day is Sunday. Don't forget. Thanks, Mello, for coming on today. Appreciate you. We're out of time. The Andy Griffin Show here every day, 9 to 10 a.m. Thanks for tuning in, and good luck getting around with Iron Man tomorrow.